Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Celtic Soul podcast with me, Andrew Millen. My guest on the show today will be Willie McStay, who comes from one of the most famous Celtic families around. Willie has every Scottish medal in the cabinet from his time playing at Celtic. As youth and reserve team coach, he produced 21 players who went on to play in the Champions League. I would like to thank our episode sponsor, Left Wing Badges, who produce all our badges, which you will find at our online shop at CelticFanzine.com. You'll also find our t-shirts and other merchandise. If your business or Celtic Supporters Club would like to support the podcast and become a sponsor, please email us at info@celticfanzine.com. You can also contact us through the website or message us on social media. Best of luck to the Willie Maley Memorial Group in Uri for their upcoming walk on Sunday to raise funds for a monument to the great iconic Celtic figure Willie Maley. For more information, follow them on Twitter at Maley in Uri, or you can also follow them on Facebook. Another 3 points at another empty stadium, this time in Paisley, as Celtic came from a goal down to win 2-1 against St Mirren, who parked the bus for most of the game. We've also narrowed the gap at the top of the table to 3 points, with a game in hand against Aberdeen. Shane Duffy grabbing the headlines again. Duffy is handling headers from set pieces like he is handling the press. He handled the press so well yesterday at his press conference. We all dream of a team of Shane Duffy's, while Gary Breen just dreams of being noticed again. James Forrest has shut up the critics for the time being anyway, with a fantastic headed goal to win the game. Edouard missed the penalty, but all is forgiven because he has hero status. Had Ryan Christie stood up to take the penalty and miss, I fear it would be a different story with the critics on Twitter. We went behind after 3 minutes, and the following morning I saw a tweet from a Celtic fan calling for Lennon's head if we win or lose the league. Shortly after we went behind, 3 minutes. 3 effing minutes with 87 minutes left to play. I can only imagine that the fan is young and frustrated at not being able to get the games and is taking his frustration out on Twitter. Maybe if he was at the game, he would have turned around and said to his mates or just shouted out aloud in the night air and it would have went unnoticed. Yeah, it must be a young fan, I think. Who knows, only success at Celtic. Because being a Celtic fan now is a lot different than those barren years back in the 90s when Rangers were dominating Scottish football. And we had the legendary player Paul McStay leading us. One of the greatest players ever to grace Celtic Park and the Celtic jersey. He could have played for any team in the world at any time during his career. But he was happy to pull on the Hoops jersey when others would have left for riches and success. Paul stuck with us. The fans stuck with Celtic and have reaped the rewards of loyalty. With treble after treble, trophy after trophy. And we never went bust in our pursuit of becoming the finest team in Scotland. And I know you all agree. Yes, it looks like the Rangers have improved and seem to have a solid defence. But remember, Edouard broke their heart before and I expect him and the boys to do it again. Let's get behind Lenny and the boys until the end of the season and then we can open the debate on how Celtic move forward to qualify for the Champions League. Until then, we must keep the faith and stay faithful, true and true. The names McStay and Celtic Football Club have been ingrained in the history of Glasgow and the Glasgow Celtic Football Club. Willie McStay and his son John continue to keep the connection between both going to this day. Willie signed for Celtic in 1977 as a schoolboy and made his debut in 1983. He won League, Scottish and Scottish League Cup medals during his playing time and was youth and reserve team coach and is currently part of the very successful scouting and recruitment team.
Hi Willie, a very welcome to the Celtic Soul podcast. How is life now after the lockdowns and are you getting any nearer to normality in your day-to-day work for Celtic?
Yeah, well, first of all, Andrew, thanks for getting in touch with us and speaking to us today. I'm sure, like, you know, the way you've handled things in the past as well, you'll be looking at thorough questions and making me reflect on things that you actually forget about as you're growing through different phases of your life. So it's great to reminisce as well. So thanks for that. And what you said there, back to normality, really, I'm actually sitting in a room that I've created now at home because at the moment, there's no live football for us to go and see. We're getting closer to it in terms of being able to go and see live matches to scout the player. And to be honest, that is the best way to scout. You see more in the game. You see the player off the ball. You see his character. You see if he's a communicator. Just for instance, a centre-back, if you're watching the game on the television or a video, you don't see because the camera follows the ball. So you don't actually see how he is round about the halfway line, organising, making sure there's a togetherness of the players round about him, that when there is a counter-attack or a transition of the ball, that they're aware. On television, all you see is the ball, and you don't see them as well. No, and you know yourself when you're watching the game, but you can see and feel the defenders pointing, organising, making sure that behind the ball on the transition that they'll be ready for that moment. So also you can feel and see what a player's like when the team's winning. They've got confidence about them. They're springing their step. You can actually see and feel that. And also the reverse, when things are not going well. So are they one that's just trying to do enough, or are they a big character that they want to take responsibility and take the ball? So all these things are difficult. I'm not saying you don't see other things when you're watching videos and live games on the TV, but there is that human part that you miss, and it's basically around the attitude, the character, and the tactical awareness. You see more of that when you look at the live games. So hopefully you understand what I'm putting across there. The perfect scenario for me is when you go and watch a live game, you like the player, and then you come back and then you can watch clips of the player. Sometimes you see little technical things or little movements that you didn't see in the game. But on the whole, that's the way I like it. Watch the player and then follow it up. And rather than the other way. But at the moment, it's where we are and we have to work this way. And at the moment, this is a little room that we've created as well. And I think I said to you earlier, I've got some memorabilia here. I've painted it. We've got it ready to put different bits and pieces that I've collected through my career.
Yeah, and I can tell the listeners there's some great memorabilia there. Some great memories really showed me around. Right back to 1957, Sean Fallon signed top. Right up to the present day from Kieran Tierney.
And I actually thought you were going to say, well, it showed me a top from 1957 that you played in.
No, definitely not. This is
a special one. Sean Fallon has signed it as well, and the program's in it as well. So absolutely delighted to have something like that. A real memorable achievement and a scoreline that's etched in every Celtic supporter's mind.
It sure is, really. Willie, before we delve into more about the recruitment policy at the club, we've just recruited, I suppose, an experienced international in Shane Duffy, a great signing for the club. Was he ever on the radar? You had to come across him as a younger player.
To be honest, not really. I just know what he's done. And obviously, it's been a fantastic signing for us. It's loan for a year in this hopefully historical year for the club. With 9 in a row in the bag, we're looking to go for a quadruple treble with the Scottish Cup still to be played from last season. and ultimately 10 in a row. So he's come in, and to be honest, you know, Nick Hammond, the scouting team, the manager, you know, everybody involved, they've got it over the line and got it over the line now. And I think you can see the impact that he made. You know, he's assured in what he is. He's got a real strength of character, the Premier League experience as well. So coming up here, you know, even from the first game, he's not fazed by anything. And actually watched the game, the national game, when he scored the header. And I just felt as if, you know, it's late in the game. They know that the result at that particular time wasn't what they were looking for. And when the corner kick was awarded, I just had a gut feeling that this is going to happen. He's going to score the goal. And he did. And you know, you could see after the game, I think it showed his personality. When I was talking earlier there about character, he wasn't glorified in his goal. It was the performance of the team and how, you know, they want to do better. And to me, you know, just listen, and that's before he's walked in the door, that no, he's the right type. He is the right type. And I know people who know Shane, and obviously my connections with Paddy McCourt, you know, and you know, they were singing his praises before, you know, we even stepped through the door and said it'd be a fantastic signing. So when he's came in, he scored a great goal, showed leadership qualities against Ross County. And I just, like, you know, like everybody other Celtic fan as well, looking forward to seeing him, you know, at Celtic Park, you know, because I'm sure he'll thrive in that atmosphere.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, everyone looks towards Scott Brown for the leadership, but, you know, he's another one that can step up there, another leader on the park.
Definitely. I think that's what you want. Like, you know, Scott's been unbelievable. You know, his record as a captain, but not just, you know, his performances, and it's on the park and off the park, the dressing room. Like, you know, he's brilliant in that environment. But the more leaders you've got, the better. And, you know, with Shane coming in, he's hungry for success. He wants to win trophies as well. And, you know, that'll be the big part of coming here. His love for Celtic, as he said, you know, isn't just a token. It's been in the family, and obviously from where he comes from as well. Like, you know, Celtic are a big, big club, you know, all over the world, but in that part of Northern Ireland and Derry, you know, like, he's been brought up, you know, with Celtic in his mind. And coming in at a special time when, you know, it could be history being made, it just, to me, looks as if he wants to be part of that.
Yeah, does. When we mentioned Scott Brown there, there's shades of Paul's career at Celtic. I know Scott didn't come through the youth system, but he came to us quite young, and, you know, he's been with us for all those 9 titles. And, you know,
there was a wee story I've got, a wee, like, anecdote. When Celtic played Boa Vista in 2003, I wasn't there. I was a under-19 coach with Scotland, as well as doing my head of youth at Celtic. And Scott Brown made his debut in that game, and he went on as a front player. And now you can see his career, he's come back. He's been at Hibs, a tremendous number 8, and now he's went from the 8 to the 6 position as well. Like, no, that was the start. So I remember driving back, sorry, after the game, it was an earlier kickoff, and getting into the car and getting along the motorway past Cumbernauld when Celtic actually scored the goal. So that was 2 memories of Boa Vista. Like, no, the goal live when I was in the car and getting off my head, and Scott Brown's debut under 19 as a striker.
Well, I was lucky enough to be there that night, Willie, and my story is a little different. Could you see then, but he was a player, like, had he got the leader attitude as a young player?
Yeah. No, he was fearless as well, like a fantastic athlete. No, he was, no, you talk about pace, endurance, he had all that. And he had the things I spoke about earlier, actually, about character and desire. No, that's a big part of being a Celtic player. A lot of good players have came to the club and not handled the, like, you know, the environment, but it's 24/7, and, you know, the demand of win, and, you know, you have to have that. And, like, you know, that's, Scott's always had that. And he actually had a good youth team at that time at Hibs as well, Derek Riordan and all different other players. They were a good group.
Yeah, Willie, I'm going to take it back now. We spoke there about the recruitment. Can you talk us through the recruitment policy at the club and maybe take the Frimpong case as someone who didn't have to wait too long to get into the team, and also look at, like, talk us through maybe a player that has to go out and loan to get his experiences?
To be honest, Andrew, the policy changes in terms of the individual. The first team scouting is separate from what I do, but we're getting close to bridging the gap. Well, I'm responsible for the academy. And for us, it's about trying to dominate Scotland, first of all, with the young age groups. We try to be the leading club, you know, for recruitment, bringing young talent in. And it all starts way back at 5-year-old. Between 5-year-old and 8, we have development centres. We have 3 centres in Scotland, one in the central area, one in Glasgow, Tory Glen, and one down in Ayrshire. And from that, we bring players in for a 6-week kind of period. And it's a situation where if they're doing well, they stay in. The coaches are giving them advice cards, you know, for them to develop, to go back to their club, because, you know, at that age group, you can't sign. The under 11 age group is the first age group that you can sign a club academy, Scotland, what do you call it, registration. So everything up to under 11 is pre-academy, and we're very strong there. And we work and select these kids all the way through, bring them in to under 8s and under 9s, where we create elite groups. They still play with the boys' club and come back into our training and go through the curriculum. And under 10, we put that together as the team that we're going to move into the Club Academy Scotland or the fixtures as well. But we will put a games programme on for the kids. And the amount of work that's done down there is enormous. And it's no scouts that are out in all types of weather to try and, you know, to try and identify on earth the young talent. Then from that, you're into the academy type situation, under 11 and 12. But again, a big focus is on the under 12s to get the squad as strong as it can be, because they move from their own primary school into the school programme we've got with St Ninians. So it's a big jump going from primary to secondary, you know, for any kid, without moving into a football environment as well. So the curriculum there is good, you know, coaching and workshops in lunchtime, a special programme for them that they can do all their education, but also have the training facilities after the school hours. We used to do sessions in the morning as well, but depending, well, that's changed slightly. We're focusing now on lunchtime and after school. And there's a new facility up there, the 3G pitch as well, which has been a big boost for us. And then from that, they're trying their best to, and in the recruitment, we're trying to get the best young talent in. But between 13 and 16, it's amazing how they change. Oh, they go through the maturation, growth spurts, and one minute you can be looking at our own players or one out at another club, and you're saying, he's got great talent, balance, everything you're looking for. Then you go back 6 weeks later and he's no energy. So in that's a very difficult age to scout, between, I would say, 13 and 15. When they come to under 16, they start to fill out, they're starting to come out. Most players are starting to come out of the growth and maturation age and start to gain a little bit of power to get their balance back. So there's no crystal ball. So what we try to do is, if a kid is talented at 11, 12, if he keeps himself good and he follows the curriculum, he'll come back at 16. There is players that just go through in a straight line, but most of them are up and down. And for us, it's to keep faith with them, during the periods that are difficult for them in terms of their growth. And also, yourself, look at, in that age group, emotionally they change as well. know, they've got other things in their mind, schoolwork, there'll be little pressures. So we've got to support them in all different ways and wait to see how they develop. And every goal for every one of the kids that are in the system is when they're approaching 16, they want to be a pro. And that can breed a little bit of anxiety as well. So like, we've got a great coaching staff and a great way of working, and we try to keep them. Now, not everybody makes it through, but we're hoping whether they leave at under 16 or during the 16 to 18, the youth team, if they ever leave the club, that they've got enough behind them that other clubs will want them. And if you look through, even like we spoke about Shane making his debut against Ross County, Ross County have had a lot of Celtic players, even Michael Gardner still there, the lad Stewart as well, but you know, there's been Ryan Conroy, and there's been many, many, Rocco Quinn, there's been many up there. If you look through the leagues, you know, a success for our academy is not only the ones that we're bringing through to the first team, but the ones that went through and made a career at other clubs.
Yeah, well, Tommy Johnson was on the show with us a couple of months ago, and Tommy said, you know, because of the grounding a player gets at Celtic, clubs will be, if they become available, clubs will be very interested because of what the work that has been already put into them. So he was saying, if a player doesn't make it at Celtic, you know, it's still the grounding for a very good professional career.
Well, it's something that, like, obviously we've worked hard at, and you know the style of play, like, you know, the curriculum's there. Players are allowed to express themselves, play the Celtic way, and you play with a purpose. You play to try and win the match. You try to win your individual test within the game. No, it's not a battle. No, people refer that to maybe senior football, but you've got the cat and mouse situation. And that's where you see game intelligence. When young players are growing through that age group. And that happens right through. No, the hardest part is bridging the gap between potential and first team. And thank God we've been able to have, I think it's 19 players now who have played, not in the Champions League qualifiers, in the Champions League group stages. So there's not many clubs can say that from their academy.
That's a great return.
It is, and there's other players going, and the recruitment that you're talking about, we've been able to go and get Moussa Dembele, the first team scout, and then you mentioned Jeremy coming in, and that's a kind of hybrid one between certain people like working at a club to bring him in. And what I would say, you can't go into too much depth on it, but I would say identifying a player is one thing, but recruiting the player is much harder. No, and that's right through even the younger age group. But as a Celtic supporter, there's players that you might like and say, oh, he should be at Celtic, but to try and get them, you see the money that's been spent in England. And I don't know if you've noticed that maybe 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, when we were looking for players as a club, or other prices, there wasn't much moving, and prices, nobody knew what the price of a player would be. Now that the English Premier League, as soon as that finished from last season, about 4 weeks ago, things have just gone up and up and up, the value of the players now. And to get a striker anywhere, you're looking at 5 to 10 million, and the top players are up at 70, 80 million now. That's the hardest thing that we have to do. It's compete. We can identify the players we might want, in the academy and moving up, but the hardest part of the job is recruiting them, getting things over the line.
Yeah, well, just one player that I suppose played very young with Hamilton as a senior player was James McCarthy. Was he ever with Celtic?
Well, we spoke about him. Yeah, he was in for a trial period, but at that time, we've got great talents ourselves, and you can't sign everybody.
Yeah.
But I do remember him being in at that time. No, but those players that will be at other clubs who were in at Celtic, as young kids, and they move on as well. But James has been on here for a good career.
And a couple come in, leave, and then come back as senior players, like Stephen Craney and Charlie McGrew.
Yeah, they were a group of boys, like when I was youth team coach, head of youth, we brought in talented boys. Charlie's still doing really well, Stephen, different players. But there was a lot of good lads at that time. If you remember, like John Kennedy, like not the assistant manager at the moment, John Kennedy, Stephen McManus, they actually signed on the same day. And John was outstanding, the potential that he had. And it was from 14, 15 years of age where we, at that time, that's when you could sign them on S-forms. And John was in with us all the time. And thank God we got him over the line because of big interest at that time from Man United. So that was a big day for us as well, signing the two boys at the same time.
You must get great satisfaction when you see someone that's come true beyond their age with Celtic.
It's everybody. I remember the wee team talks before the Youth Cup final, and thank God in the days we were there virtually every year and winning it. So we were doing something right. Although it's not all about winning, it's a quality to have at Celtic. And just what you said about being proud, there's so many people proud. First of all, it's a big occasion for the boys, their mums, their dads. They're looking for tickets for all the family. So that's something they've never handled before. Prior to the game, there'd be media attention. They've been interviewed on Celtic TV and things like that. So it's different from the norm, and it's a great experience for them. But you're talking about being proud. How do the parents feel? Under 18, their kid started off trying to get signed with Celtic, then they're through, they're playing in a cup final. And you have a good group, more get carried through to the next level. And that was something we always tried to preach to them. But it was a case of go and enjoy yourself. Go and be proud of what you've done, and go and make other people proud of you. And I would mention, right from the scouts, they're sitting there willing you on, the coaches that you've worked with all through the system, some of them have been from 8-year-old, for 10 years. All the coaches are there, they're all willing you on, they're all looking for you to do well. And ultimately, go and show the manager what you can do. And on a big stage, because the biggest jump is the lads playing youth football. The managers come to see the talents and whatever, but it's good to see them under pressure. And that was the thing he tried to put across to them. Go and enjoy, go and show people, go and make your parents proud. And there'll be so many people there supporting you, and they've supported you over the years. So that was a kind of message to them. And they were a good bunch, and it goes in cycles. The years, you get two or three good players, some you get six or seven that might move through. But the one thing is, you wanted them to enjoy the experience as well, and never get them too uptight, because that might be the last time they play in a Celtic jersey, because it's normally the last game of the season, the cup final. So you want them to remember that time, and hopefully that the majority of them will move into the reserve team and towards the first team. But it should be a special time to be a Celtic player.
It's always great for the fans, Willie, when a young player comes through the system, one of our own, as we say, and we see them coming off the bench, or even when you check the team sheet, they're on it. And I don't mean in pre-season friendlies, I mean when we're playing a competitive game. And when I think back, you think back to Tony Watt coming off the bench, Barcelona, nobody knew who Tony was. And there's been so many other debuts where you see a player coming on and you're just going.
Well, the one I remember is David Marshall.
Yes.
Big John Kennedy played in that game as well. And he just grew from this potential into a man. He was outstanding. Look, he's still playing international football just now, the current number one in Scotland. So things like that. And I think within weeks, he had a fantastic save at Ibrox. And that just makes you but there's a lot of good lads there, and they've came through, and there's actually that many. The Celtic fans have always liked that. Way back to the Kelly kids, they know that I can remember. You know, they always supported you. The Mullen experience as well, when you go into the team at first, they're just desperate for you to do well. You know, that's the same just now. You know, Mikey Johnson came in and caught the eye with the boys as well, but he's had a few, the supporters, sorry, as well, and there's a few injuries. So, but there's, the stalwarts just now, James Forrest and Callum, they're just real leaders for the team now. And obviously Kian left last year and whatever, but what a servant he was, and coming through from 8-year-old. And as I said to you earlier on, we've got a framed jersey that Kian gave to my dad to recognise, he brought him into the club, and that's pride to place down, down in the main TV room that the boys have got. So he went for 25 million. So that's a kid that came in at 8-year-old. Their success is in different ways. And you just, from my point of view, the titles I've had at Celtic, been head of youth and youth team coach, reserve team manager, and now here, you want to be the best you can be as well. And basically that's for the boys. I used to try and go and learn and bring things back from Europe and club visits I went to help their development. And it was amazing. The boys would take, when you're working with young players, it keeps you young because you've got it on your toes. They're as sharp as a tack. It'd be the Villarreal passing drill or game and whatever. And I remember Ed McGeady, the player of the year, impersonating me. This is good enough for Villarreal. It's good enough for you, that type of thing. And Bayer Leverkusen or Bayern Munich, whatever it may be. But they were a great bunch, and I really enjoyed my time with the youth. And I'll tell you another wee story. They took us out into the city, and I thought it was a wind-up. So it was going on for a day or two. Charlie McGrew was the main man. So Ed McGeady, and they're all there. So they said, "You're coming for a meal. We want to say thanks, blah, blah, blah." And so I was training up at Lennox Town. I'm driving home. Now I'm saying to myself when I'm driving home, will I meet them or will I not? And anyway, the phone goes, "Where are you? Are you in the town yet?" And this is Charlie. And I said, no, I'm going home first. I'm playing it cool. Get changed. No, I'll meet you in the town later." Right, okay, but we're in such and such a place. We'll be in Glasgow in an hour. No, make sure you're there. You've got to come. And I'm like, okay, if this is a wind-up, I'm going to go. But if it's a wind-up, I'll take it in good faith and whatever. And if it's real, then brilliant. But I go down and get the train. I'm heading in. The phone goes, "Charlie, where are you? Where are you in the town yet?" Oh, he says, "Right, meet us underneath the guy with the cone in his head at Royal Exchange Square." Now, that's what he said. And I'm saying to myself, I'm on the train. I'd as well get the train back because it's a wind-up. So I get into the central, and the last thing I'm going to do is go and stand underneath the statue, right? So I get into Royal Exchange Square, and I went into the toilet in one of the pubs, and there they all came trooping in, right? And they couldn't believe I was there. They thought I wasn't coming. But the moral of this story is that they wanted to say thanks, but they must be talking all the time amongst themselves. All the boys, some of them had left the club, some are still there. They went with that and put, bang, a piece of paper on the table and asked me to write down each position, who was the best player to come through the youth and through your ranks. So anyway, and this is what triggered me off to tell the story, was David Marshall. So I sat with goalkeeper, and I'm going, and I'm trying to be a wee bit cheeky to him, Scott Fox, great goalkeeper. Big Marsh, outstanding. Hugh McGovern, he's just played in the World Cup in Northern Ireland and whatever. Andy McConaughey get through, Barry John Corr. So the amount of time he spent just in the goalkeepers that came through was frightening. So we ended up, close one, have to put Marsh in, Foxy, Michael, all done great. So we said, right, what about the back four? So Charlie's the he's the ringleader. Like, he's the one that's doing all the chirping. So right backs, we're going for Paul Caddis. There's another list there. Right centre back, Kendo. Left centre back, and Charlie's getting chirpy. So I'm like, well, okay, Darren Adey. There's Stephen McManus, club captain. It's got to be Stephen McManus. And Charlie's getting all, you know what I mean? So he's like, oh, you put me in at left back, Willie? And I said, Charlie, so Stephen Kenny was a better left back than you. Right? And he's like, what? I said, look, you might make the bench. So at that time, right, the whole place is erupting, right? So Charlie being the Jack the Lad and the one that wanted it all done, right? I knew what he was up to. So it was easy to leave him at the team. He was on the bench. But that's what they were like. And for me, it was a great time, to be a coach as well, working with the boys and thoroughly enjoyed it.
You've named some plenty of talented players there.
That's me only getting to the back four, because Ross Wallace is go back as well.
But this is probably an unfair question, because really I think there's another episode in your best team you brought through.
Yeah, and Andrew, it's not me bringing them through.
But you're the coach as well, and of course the great Tommy Bones was there with you, and there's so many brilliant coaches. But just from your perspective, the players that come through with you, could you pick one out, and you went, he's the most talented, or he's the best, without being unfair?
You know yourself, it's like, who's the best player in Celtic's first team just now? It's different qualities for different positions. They're a bit natural talent and ability. I'm sure the boys wouldn't mind the same. I'll readdress that. Way back when I first came in, the first team that I was handed over, there was the young lad, John Paul McBride. He was competing against Barry Ferguson at that particular time. And for me, John Paul had everything. But just things happen in life, and opportunity. He went to St. John's. I think he made a couple of games for us as well, but he went to St. John's no difference. But he was a natural footballer, in possession and out of possession. He just was outstanding. And then when you go through it, there's many, many talented boys. And when you're looking at individual skills, Ed McGeady would be up there with the best, in terms of he was a talent, very much like Paul in a lot of ways. From 8 year old, people were raving about him being a top class player. Now, that's hard to handle at times. And he did it. He'd done it all the way through. And he's still playing now. So, fair play to him. He's done brilliant for Celtic, went to other clubs, and a real talent as well. But at that age group, he could do it. And he had the attitude as well, to go with it. It was just the desire to always be the best.
And some players there, Willie, that you named, I actually, memories are floating back to certain games as well now. And when you said Big Marsh there in Barcelona.
But you look at that time as well, Andrew. You said, I came in, Tommy was manager, with Billy Stark. I came back from Sligo from winning that treble. And it was just a great time. But it was difficult because the first season was at Hampden, for Tommy and the team and all that. And what happened after that? I lost one game in a season, the following season, and never won the league. So then there was all the different managers that came in, with them and Dr. Joe and Martin. The experience that you were getting from all these guys. It was a great time to be there in that capacity that I had. And then latterly, Tommy came back after leaving the club. And working in the youth as well, and he just, what a man. That's all I can say, what a man.
Tommy's legacy is, it's there for all to see. I suppose the next day is, Tommy was Celtic through and through.
No, definitely, yeah. He didn't do anything half-hearted, that's for sure. At the time where he went back into the lower academy, I remember being at a game, and I came by the London Road, and the lights were on at Barryfield. It was nearly 10 o'clock at night, and my first thought was, Tommy's during the night. The midnight Tommy. The wee grounds when Tommy came in, he'd be phoning up the road saying, "Look, I'm going to be late tonight. Tommy's done." Oh, no, you know.
Tommy would have done anything for Celtic, wouldn't he?
He's just a great man. Knowledgeable, passionate, a good man. And he was the type of guy that, no matter how close you were to him, he could, in a way, tell you, you need to do this or need to do that. But also, he could make you feel 10 foot tall. He just had that great charisma about him. In fact, even when he was trying to knock you, he left you, feeling 10 foot tall as well. And yes, all right, I've got a message there, right, but you feel good. And O'Neill had that as well.
He could not
say much, but make you feel good about yourself, but reflect on the message.
Yeah, Scott McDonald said when he came to Celtic Forest, away on pre-season, I think, and he said Tommy came over to him and put his arm around him and said, "You're one of us, you're one of our players, and you're good enough." And he said the lift that Gavin was, because there was a lot of competition for places, and obviously he was coming with the history he was coming with, but he said Tommy was just brilliant. And that kind of comes across with most of the players that I speak to about Tommy.
Willie McStay, Celtic true and true, and once again we had to let the tape run and run as the conversation flowed, and you can hear the second part of the interview with Willie on Tuesday's show. 19 years since we started More Than 90 Minutes, and issue 110 goes on sale today. You can order the print or digital copy. If you order the print, we'll get it posted out straight away, and if you can't wait, the digital will drop straight into your inbox. You can order both on our website. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Ronan McQuillan. If you like what we're doing and would like to support us, you can do so by visiting CelticFanzine.com, where you can become a member, subscribe, buy or donate for the price of a pint. Thanks to everyone who has listened and supported us so far. We really appreciate the support. Thanks to everyone who has downloaded the new app. It's free and you will have access to all our podcasts, articles, daily news, video and info on upcoming events, the fanzine and our online shop, all at the touch of a button. All episodes of the podcast are now available on all platforms, so whatever your preferred platform is, please hit the subscribe or follow button and you'll never miss an episode. If you click into our Instagram, you'll also be able to go on straight onto Spotify, where you can get all the episodes. And I'd like to thank Aaron for looking after our Instagram account. We would also appreciate if you could hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel, Celtic Fanzine TV. We are currently working on some new video material and we'll have that out soon. Thanks again to our episode sponsor, Left Wing Badges, who produce all our badges and are a great way for fundraising for your CSC. If you'd like to see our badges, you can visit our shop at CelticFanzine.com/shop. You'll also see all our t-shirts and merchandise. If your business or Celtic Supporters Club are enjoying the podcast and would like to help us out and become a sponsor, please email us at info@CelticFanzine.com. You can also contact us through the website or through social media. Keep the comments coming in and let us know what guests you would like us to get on the show. And if you have a story to tell, please get in contact. And I'd like to thank the listener who contacted us about getting Willie on the show. I really enjoyed chatting to him. And you can get the second part, episode 29, with Willie in conversation with us on Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend. Let's hope the boys can do the business against Livingston tomorrow. And we can celebrate going top of the table with a few drinks. Stay tuned, stay safe, and keep the faith.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.